Are you finally happy?
Yes.
What do you mean I'm happy?
We fix the setup? You don't have to hold the mic?
I'm happy that I'm going to have to hold the mic. Thank God, man.
You can fight in case you need it.
I was getting muscle spasms.
Spasms.
Are we live or what?
We're live.
Okay. What are we going to say in Barese after you lost 1-2-3-4-1?
You're forgetting about that, huh? You know, I'm going to tell you in dialetto Barese. So the only one that is going to be able to understand is Michele Ciccarese. He's one of the nicest guy I recently saw. Actually, I saw him on Saturday. I'm not going to explain the occasion because I guess it was a secret thing, right, Mike?
We went to Serie A. They did a thing with Street Soccer USA, and we went to a nice high school. We kicked the ball around. Del Piero was there.
You kicked the ball around. I didn't.
Whatever.
I was watching the game.
You tried to kick it.
I tried to kick it.
You tried. And it was a nice initiative. We talked to the kids and stuff, playing some calcetto a little bit. So it was a great initiative all around.
You had Del Piero film a video for you?
He did. Nice guy.
You want to explain to the people?
If
you don't want to, you don't have to.
No, I would explain. I have my cousin in Italy that is not doing well right now. And I just went, of course, to meet Del Piero. But my main thing was I wanted Del Piero to give a shout out to my cousin, because he's a big fan, and I asked him very, very nicely. Actually, I asked Michele first, Michele Ciccarese.
From
Bari, like me. And we had a nice exchange in dialect. So that means it's the real thing. So Michele can speak that dialect the real way. It's a real Barese. And then at the appropriate time, Michele signed it to me and said, Antonio, it's a good time to do it right now. So I went to Del Piero and said, Alessa, if you can do me a favor. He said, sure, what's the problem? I said, I am my cousin. I said, can you give him a shout out? He said, absolutely. What's his name? I said, let me know when you're ready. I said, I'm ready to go. Boom. I pressed the record and he did a beautiful.
So he wished him well.
I did.
Sent him some strength.
Yeah.
That's nice. Beautiful. We got something coming real soon, but we'll keep the people informed. Guys, what a weekend we had in Serie A. If you would have bet ties for all the big teams, you could have been a millionaire. You could have bought the Serie A. Everything ended in a tie this weekend, besides Lazio.
Eight games
ended in a tie.
Wow.
What does that come down to? How does that even happen?
Things are getting tied.
Things are getting tied?
Yeah, the teams that don't want to go back to Serie B, they're fighting harder, believe it or not.
Yeah, and I think it's that, and also it's crunch time, and a lot of everyone's calculated right now. They don't want to go too much out of position for the goal, or they don't want to concede. So I feel like a point is safer for a lot of these sides also.
It always gets to that one point in Serie A seasons where I know everyone looks at the names of the teams and they're like, oh, all right, look, we have an easier schedule. But it's actually the teams that are fighting at the bottom that become a lot tougher than even the teams at the top. Yeah. Because there's some teams that they're not really playing for too much. But then you play against, I don't know, Frosinone or Verona.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the guys are fighting tooth and nail because they're fighting for their lives. They're fighting for their future,
contracts,
their families, everything. And when you have to go up against a team that's their back is against the wall, even the big guys, they don't like to do it.
Listen, there are only two teams that have... one is Salernitana that is already in Serie B. And Inter, we could say that they are going to win the Scudetto. Every other thing is very close. It's close for Champions League. It's close for Europa League. It's close for Serie B, to go to Serie B. So everything is very... Every point is very, very important. So, you know, once you get... today, you know, you're losing 2-0. You tie the game 2-2. That's a very good point, which at the end could be... Can count for remaining in Serie A.
How the hell does Atalanta go from beating Liverpool 3-0 in Anfield to then tying against Elas Verona?
And losing to Cagliari.
It's a hangover. I mean, I think we all would take a Liverpool win over the tie against Verona any day. So they had their minds on the second leg more than anything.
Why don't we do that? What were you going to say?
Yeah, I was saying, you know, you would think that after beating Liverpool, you're such a high that, the next guy, you're going to... the next few games, you're going to destroy everybody.
Why don't we start with the European football? Let's start with those recaps, and then we'll talk about the Serie A, and we'll get into the rest of the topics. That game against Liverpool, those are the ones that I live for. I could not take my eyes off of it for a second. I couldn't even focus on Milan against Roma because I had this feeling, and we had said it here as well, that everyone, and when I say everyone, I'm saying like, you know, regular media, the English media, most people that don't watch Serie A very often, they had already written that Atalanta's out and they're already writing Liverpool versus Bayer Leverkusen in the final. And I said, listen, Liverpool has more quality than Atalanta. There's no disputing that. But I'm telling you, watch out for these guys because they are competitive and they have quality. They mix those two things and they love a fight. They love a challenge. Anytime that they're counted out, it's like the dog in them comes out and they play even better. I never expected 3-0, but I did expect them to pull off a result.
Uno di noi said before the games that they started, I said that Atalanta was not going to lose. Who's this guy here? Not you, Mike, right?
No, I didn't say that.
That was me.
Well, I said it too.
Well, no,
that was me.
Well, I said it too.
I said Atalanta is not going to lose.
But it's not over yet. Listen, the tie is not over because Liverpool, just looking at history, you can understand that they've turned this around. Antonio, you know that better than anyone else sitting at these couches. And Liverpool has the quality. They have the players that if they do play their big roster, one goal in Bergamo, could change it all. But let's talk about the match for the way that it went. Atalanta had more chances. Besides the goals that went in, the goalkeeper, Keller, was made an incredible one.
Miracle.
With his face.
Yeah.
He made one save. And I was scared that was going to come back and bite Atalanta, you know, that they were going to lose because of that.
I think a 5-1 or 5-2 will be, nobody will be complaining because Atalanta had a lot of.
Well, 5-2 is the same thing as 3-0.
I know, but still, you know, you want to slap them harder when you go over there to Anfield.
I mean, I think Gasperini did everything right. He pressed Liverpool very well. I mean, we also got to say that Liverpool was trying to. You could say they definitely underestimated Atalanta because they still have both feet in the league. They don't want to drop any points. So they're going full blast on that. So, and Gasperini took advantage of that. But you got to give it to Atalanta also. They pressed, they fought for every ball. They went for every challenge. They really did everything. Scamacca was on fire and they did what they're supposed to. And yeah, for the people that are saying the game's over second half, I definitely don't think so. Liverpool just got a huge loss. So they're going to do everything they can to get back in this.
Again, they were missing easy chances in the match against Crystal Palace. I watched it. So many opportunities.
They had like 5-6 big chances.
That they squandered. And the league title, it's in Man City's hands now. So they might put the full focus on this Europa League tie, which is still.
I think they're definitely putting a full team for against Atalanta.
The thing is, even if they do, they threw on Salah. They threw on all the big guys at halftime, and they still didn't have any solution.
The whole second half.
Van Dijk said that we couldn't deal with the man marking that Atalanta possessed. And Gasperini is one of the geniuses of understanding a moment, preparing tactically for it. But at the end of the day, the players need to step up. And I saw everyone talking about the players that Liverpool were missing. Also, Atalanta were missing their two best center backs, Scalvini and Kolasinac, got hurt before the match. Let's talk about Scamacca for a second because he just scored again today in the game that we're watching against Verona. Scores two goals in Anfield. The real Scamacca. We never doubted his quality here. It was more about the application to it. And he's starting to start consistently. It seems like Gasperini knows his best 11. How do you feel about Atalanta and Scamacca?
You know, when you're such an underdog against Liverpool, you're playing away. That's when, if you're a professional, that's when everything's got to come out of you, and you got to give the best that you have. And the thing with Gasperini, which is a reflection of the team, is they're not afraid. You know, so they go in the field and they think that they have a chance. And when you think that you have a chance, you play differently. And you could win the game. And I give a lot of
credit
to Atalanta, the way they played, and to Gasperini for putting them in that situation. As far as Scamacca is concerned, Scamacca has got so much potential. I wish he is our hope for the national team. I'm hoping that he scores a couple of more goals, he keeps it up, and then he can translate that into the Azzurri.
Yeah, I know Gasperini in the past, he had said he needs to do a lot more of the simple things. He doesn't need to think that everything, you have to be the phenomenal. And there were question marks about his attitude. And I think Spalletti made a statement by not calling him up to the matches that we went to go watch in the United States. And he's responded well to it. And that's the most important thing. Everybody here has said that we know he has something that no Italian striker has in terms of ball at the feet, understanding football IQ, all of those things. He just hasn't been able to translate it towards consistently playing in the league and for the Italian national team. So our hope is that if he continues on this, man, now we finally found somebody who could be even better, because Retegi has done amazing for what he's been.
Yeah.
And I think he deserves to be the starter as of now and allow Scamacca to get inside the group and to prove everybody that he can become that.
And a quick thing, I feel like it slipped under the radar for us. We had Musso starting in net instead of Carnesecchi, which we were all surprised on.
He didn't start a game since December against Milan. That
there we go. But it proved to be the correct decision.
Mike,
Gasperini said that he wanted experience.
Yeah.
Which is surprising because Carnesecchi completely won his spot. It's not even a doubt.
But Musso did play Champions League.
Throw Musso
in
was interesting.
But Marco, the point that everybody I think is missing in this game is that Klopp overplayed his hands by not starting Salah and some of his... some of his best players. He's making the same mistake that our best buddies at AC Milan, Pioli, is doing. In other words, when the game gets out of hand, then he brings the heavy duty shooters back into the game. So by doing that, I think what he did, he played into the Atalanta's hands. I don't know if Atalanta's got a motivator, he's got a psychologist. Whatever those guys that were told before the game started, the motivation of those Atalanta players had when they stepped into the field was off the chart. I thought that Atalanta was playing home the way they were playing.
Rip him to shreds, come on.
What were you making a face?
I don't believe that. Okay, you have 18 players, you have 20 players. These players are professional players.
Getting paid.
And Salah, this is not the first game that Salah did not start.
That's true.
And Liverpool is a point away, I think, from first place.
But this is the reasons why. That's a better reasons for you to put the game away right away and then and put the, you know... Right. They won
many games without Salah, and Salah was hurt too. So that's an excuse.
He overplayed his hand.
That's not an excuse.
You overplayed his hand. Klopp, you overplayed your hands.
Okay. Did he play the whole 45 minutes in the second half? Yeah. Did he play the second half?
Let me just give him a shout out. Start the same formation again and just bring Salah when you're down 1-0 or you still 1-1 or 2-2.
I think they definitely underestimated.
No, they did. At a point, yes.
Yeah. Which is often the case with Italian football. Let's talk about your Europa League match, because I think that's what you're mad about. Before we do, you guys can see I'm rocking the hat. That's going to be dropped next week. We're getting ahead of the Euros for Italy, which we're still the defending champs, so we got to keep some respect on our name. We have a few pieces of merchandise that are going to drop. The hats are the first thing.
Look, we picked them up, Marco, if it didn't come out yet.
ItalianFootballTV.com is going to be the website where they'll be released, but there will be a link at the top of the description where you could be part of our mailing list. You will get early access because we do have limited quantities. So if you want to find out before anyone else, make sure you do that. I am also wearing these sweatshorts, which are beautiful. Calcio sweatshorts.
How much are they paying you to promote this?
they're becoming useful now because we've had the hottest day in New York.
Oh,
I've been
God.
Absolutely doing sweating.
Doing what? What are you doing with those shorts?
Listen, we've been outside. You
doing
can
what?
Run around.
Doing chores.
The beautiful thing about these shorts is you could do basically anything in them.
Yeah.
They're good to walk around, to hang out. If you want to go play soccer, if you want to go...
Soccer. You don't play soccer. Tell me everybody what you were doing.
If you want to go and do whatever you want,
about
make sure
Acatano
you go
Messina, what were
ItalianFootballTV.com, pick up your shorts, and we've got other merchandise.
I can pick it up too?
You don't have?
I can put my...
You don't have?
You get 5% off. 5%
off. But I thought we were going to charge him 5%.
I'll talk to the guys. Don't worry.
So how did you feel about Milan losing at home to Roma? 1-0, completely unexpected.
We did not deserve it to win, but not to lose either. So AC Milan played poorly the first half. Roma outplayed it in every position. The midfield was way superior. Dybala was having fun over there in the middle of the field and without even struggling. Then AC Milan, they, for some reasons on the big games like that, they choke. Leao totally disappeared from the field. I mean, what you've been expected from you on those important games.
Here we go.
It is... What do you mean, here you go? It's the truth, Mike. Listen, you are a fan of Leao. So am I. I want him to do well. I want him to be a champion. But to be a champion, you have to have a pedigree that you have to put on the field day in and day out. You cannot be just a, you know, hey, I scored. Not good enough.
You usually agree with everything Cassano says.
It is. Cassano is not wrong. Cassano is not wrong.
Yeah, we went over this last week. Let's not open that bag of worms. Yeah.
Okay? And I said it even before Cassano said it. So if you actually check the tape, check the video tapes that we have, right, Mike? Or the other podcast.
Let's focus on what else did Milan do wrong in this match. Because Roma were on hot form. We've all talked about De Rossi at length. But when Milan plays at home in a Europa League match, you would expect them to do better than what they did. You wouldn't expect them to lose. And Milan, we've all said it here. Some of us said it was 50-50, 55-45, whatever you want. We all agree that Milan has better quality players than Roma does. Yeah. But Roma have applied it in a way that's been better. The spirit, the attitude, the approach in these matches, it seems like they've been better.
We made a mistake, defensive mistake, one or two defensive mistakes that cost us the game. Other than that,
I think missing huge chances. I mean,
and Giroud was a huge one. What do you want? Should have got on target.
The Tammy Abraham handball.
And the offside on the first goal, that was offside.
But Roma had their chances too.
But Mancini too, you got to give him credit. Back-to-back goals in the derby. And this, he's coming up big. A lot of people maybe aren't a fan favorite of his, but you got to give credit. Overall, he's coming up when it matters. I mean, two clean sheets.
I never thought he had it. Roma's actually, not from their last game. Before that, they were on four clean sheets in a row with Zvilar in net. What'd you make of the game?
Oh, now that they're playing different with De Rossi. They got this confidence. They believe. And every time they go on the field, they think that they can win every game. And that's what De Rossi has brought to this team. So whether they're playing home, they're playing away, they're playing against AC Milan, they don't care. They think that they're going to win the game. And I'm not sure that if you put player to player, that AC Milan is much better than Roma.
Really? On paper, you don't think so?
I don't know. If we put players to players.
You want to do it? You want to do it?
Yeah, let's do it. You got two fullbacks that don't belong in there. So the two fullbacks, you're already out.
One fullback. Either you say Calabria, Florenzi.
Let's do it.
Right?
We have Magnan versus Zvilar.
Okay, that's a tie.
Even.
That's even.
Tie?
Yeah.
Come on. That's even.
Zvilar.
That's even.
It's not any less than Magnan.
Okay, but hold on. There's no even. It's if you're building a team, who are you taking?
Who's bad? Pick
you gotta
one.
You got to choose one.
Yeah, I could take either one.
I got it. Close enough. Okay.
Close enough.
The Thunder. we're going just on the lineup on Thursday, right? Mm. Gabbia Ciao versus Mancini Smalling.
So you got two.
Okay, Theo Hernandez versus Spinazzola.
Let's give it to Theo.
Celik versus Calabria.
Celik.
Calabria, forget it.
Mm. So Celik. Celik. So you got three Roma players.
Okay, Paredes versus Benacer.
I mean, Paredes has been doing a very good job.
What are we doing here?
I take Paredes. Okay.
What are we doing?
No, but what you guys are taking.
I'll take Benacer.
This is mine. Reinders versus Cristante. Remember what he.
Cristante is my play.
Oh my God.
Yo, what are we.
That guy's biased.
Okay.
I'll take Reinders. I'll take.
No, it's fine. Let him do it. Yeah, He's the one who's arguing it. We all said Milan.
Yeah.
Loftus Cheek versus Pellegrini.
Balver. Okay.
El Sharawi versus, Leao. I guess, Leao.
And that's not competition, Leao. Okay.
Dybala, Pulisic.
Dybala.
Lukaku, Giroud.
Giroud.
So you got seven players.
For Roma?
You got seven players.
Yeah, but how many are could we take into account?
Yeah, so it's
that's his opinion.
Favoritism, though.
That's his opinion.
Okay, but what about you guys?
No, I don't agree.
I don't agree with
how
many.
Okay, but how many?
Said.
I got seven. You got five. So five and five.
I put Magnan over, first of all.
What did I miss? Maybe you don't agree with one of the players.
I think Milan has better quality players.
So do I.
Overall. Okay, that's fine.
Dybala is a top player. The only thing that AC Milan has got is got Giroud, who's very good. He's got Leao, who's very good. And Magnan is good. But
Theo, Pulisic.
But not better than Dybala.
I didn't say Dybala.
Guys, we're getting into a stupid argument now. You guys are just, everybody's got their opinion. Okay, you say that their Roma have a better team.
But so I thought I knew what
he
was
doing
there.
How do you see the game going? So they should win when they're playing at home.
Yeah, yeah. The Roma is going to win.
You think they're going to go through?
Yeah. The Roma is going to go through.
You got to put some money.
What happened if they lose?
They lose. Every game has Atalanta, they won 3-0. Every game has their own story. You know, sometimes you start very well, you score, and all of a sudden the game changes. Sometimes you start very well, you hit the post, they go down, and the other team scores. So I'm saying that Roma has got a very good chance to go forward.
Let's talk about Sassuolo-Milan. Crazy, crazy match, where in the first 10 minutes, you pretty much blew the game. The defending from Florenzi and then Ciao, I'm still scratching my head wondering what they were doing on this play. This is a Sassuolo side that is fighting for their life, but they got Ballardini. They brought him back in because to try to shore things up. He's a relegation specialist. The first game back from Domenico Berardi's hurt. They have given up goals like nothing. I said, even though, Milan, you rotated so many players in this match, you have the quality to win, and somehow, time and time again, you guys kept shooting yourself in the foot against a Sassuolo side that, yes, they've beaten Inter and Juventus, and now they get 7 points against with Milan included, but they should never have been able to tie this game. You had the Chukwueze, who was offsides, but where do you think you lost this?
Let me tell you something. We lost because of the mentality that the team has approaching the approach to the game. That's our major problem. I mean, Sassuolo, it's with 1.5 foot in Serie B right now. Okay? So what you do, you just downplay the game before even started. And what he does, Pioli, he just rested Giroud, he rested, Pulisic, he rested... I'm not sure who else came in, that it was supposed to be starting the game. Some other bigger superstars.
Reinders.
So then the game gets out of hand. And then the first half ends, you're down 2-1, I believe, right? You're down 2-1. Yeah, 2-1 it was the first half. And then on the second half, immediately before even the whistle blows, you're starting to bring the other people that they were supposed to rest in. Instead of doing the opposite, in other words, start with the top guys, put the game away, and then rest the big guns. No, the guy is time and time again keeps making the same mistake. So Pioli was already thinking at the Roma game, the upcoming Roma game of Thursday, and that's what he does. So what he does, he's tasking the people that they were supposed to be rested. He's tasking them for the additional overtime and overstretch and overburden because he didn't want to lose the game and didn't want to lose face. AC Milan could have won the game endly, even on the second half. We missed very clean chance. But the 3-3 is well-deserved from Sassuolo, and it's a punishment that AC Milan, I hope, they learn the lesson.
What's funny is we've watched Inter, who obviously is going to go on and win the Scudetto. They have better players, right? But Inzaghi's approach has been completely different, where he's always started his best players and manages the game, and then he'll make the rotations. It's like completely different than what you guys have done and what a lot of teams have done in terms of rotations. Inzaghi's obviously been the one to get it right the most amount of times. What do you think about that? You think this is a Pioli problem?
I mean, AC Milan, you're in second place. It's there's still how many? 10 games to go?
Seven
games to go. They need to rest some players for the European League. You know, that's what they that's what he wants to do. So I think that's fine. The urgency is on the European League. You need to win that game. We talked about Pioli, if Pioli should be sacked or not. And I said, if he wins the European League, the guy should stay. Now it's going to be very difficult to win.
Thanks.
So that's fine. I mean, you have to rest some players. I mean, Inter, now that they're out of the Champions League, they have 12 points ahead of the second one? So that's fine.
They got time to chill a little bit, right?
You guys still didn't fix the defensive problems. I remember coming into the season, I didn't care about the striker. I didn't care about the midfield. I didn't care. I said defensively, you don't have the players. Unfortunately, Ciao has not been the guy to develop to in the way Ciao, that we expected.
Ciao is not a AC Milan player.
Calabria.
But listen, one
Calabria is not a AC Milan player. Florenzi is not an AC Milan player.
Mike, what about Terracciano? Terracciano has got speed. We just bought this guy here because we had defensive lack. You know, we were lacking on defense. We were just bleeding defensively. This guy is capable to take a fast wing.
I don't know if Pioli believes it.
Pioli. That's the problem with Pioli. Pioli, from time to time, forced to plug in players that he did not believe. Vis-a-vis Adli was one of them. He kept him for on the bench for almost 2 years. And now Adli is one of the best players.
Maybe he wasn't ready. Maybe
it's like Chukwueze. Chukwueze has been a player that's grown a lot. And Pioli said that he knew he was not first cast. He was not training well. He was not doing the things that he was supposed to. Exactly. And it took him a little bit of time. Christian Pulisic, oh my God, all of a sudden he started on an amazing foot. Different players have different paths. Even Loftus-Cheek. Loftus-Cheek was always great, but 9 of his 10 goals came in 2024 towards the end of the season. It still is a new group that's been gelling. I think they started gelling early on and we all got very excited, but it still is a Milan that at this point, before this game, coming into this, you were 1 point more than you did have when you won the Scudetto 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. So you're still on pace to have what it is.
But just doesn't look like that. Just because the other teams are playing so much more.
I think it's also
the
blackouts that you've had in certain matches raise a lot of questions for people. But next week is going to be absolutely crucial. Monday, you have the derby. Inter didn't beat Cagliari, which means if Inter had beaten Cagliari, they could have drawn or beaten you and they would have won the Scudetto. Now Inter has to go. Milan is the home crowd. 2/3 of the stadium will be Milan fans. They have to go there and they have to beat you to win the Scudetto. And I think the last thing you really have to play for in the league, because you're going to finish into the top four, that's or top five, if you want to call it that, that's not in discussion. It is to stop Inter from winning in your home the Scudetto as a last bragging rights. How important is that for you?
Not that important.
Really?
I'll tell you the reasons why. The season is over. That's not going to do
excuses,
much.
Excuses if are coming.
Listen.
Oh, he's scared.
Let me answer, Mike.
Not like this, though.
Guys are overplaying your hands with this whole thing, the derby, the bragging rights. We don't go about bragging rights.
It makes it a lot worse. Can you imagine if Inter is celebrating right in front of your fans?
AC Milan has to win every game, regardless who we play. This is our DNA.
This is just like another game.
Mind game.
Relax, okay?
You're a single fan watching right now.
We don't care about Inter. Inter is garbage for us. So win or lose or tie, it's not going to change our season.
Of course.
At the end of the day.
We agree, but it makes it a little bit worse. Oh, can you agree that it makes it a little bit worse?
Well, that little bit, it's very minuscule, okay? So it's not that little bit, you know. It's like, right, we'll have won this.
Dad, you've been around Italian football for a long time.
He is full of it.
I know. Forget about it.
And I would like to see what they have to say when they hear you.
The Milanista.
The Milanista, where they have to say, this is a big, big game.
What big game?
Especially for Milan. It's a derby.
We're playing garbage.
I've seen derby where the team is in first place and the other team is in 10th place and it becomes a big game, okay? I'm talking about not specifically this game, but Torino, you know, that could be in 10th place. They have been in the past. It's a big, big game for the city. So don't tell me that you don't care.
Forget about Antonio's opinion right now. That's his opinion, just like you have the opinion about Roma. I'm asking you. You've been around Italian football for a long time.
I said this is a big, big game for the city.
Okay, but do you remember this ever happening?
That's hilarious.
Where this, like a derby, can decide the title?
No, I don't think I remember. The
Inter-Juve one, no? Or you're just saying the Milan derby?
No, but this is the Milan, Inter-Milan.
Marco, this derby is not going to decide anything.
The Scudetto, it is.
It's not going to decide anything.
Quite literally does.
We're talking about 3 days or 4 days on and off. Nobody cares except for you.
How much do you think the Milan fans care about this? Let them win?
The Milan fans and the Milan players, they will sweat blood for this game. And they want to make sure that the Inter does not celebrate in the home of AC Milan.
Bingo!
Wow.
Bingo.
Yo, you did your homework.
And you know what? You know what I think? I think it's a really difficult game for Inter. If they would have had the draw and win, yeah. I would have said that Inter is going to do it for
it's
sure.
Tough now, yeah.
But for me, this, what I'm looking at is like, this is Milan's last chance at least. All right, they're going to win. We understand it. But guess what? You're not going to do it in our
what
house.
What if it ends on a tie?
Then they don't win the Scudetto.
Got to wait for the week.
They have to wait.
The only tough thing now that I see is Milan's going to be pretty tired because they're a one goal down against Roma. They're going to go full blast while Inter have a nice 7-day break. So I think that's going to be a big thing. But for Milan, I think they're going to play for their lives. They do not want Inter winning at their home.
It could be, though, Mike, the one last thing of the season. It could be because let's say they went out of the Europa League. If they do go out of the Europa League, then Monday really concludes the season.
That's true.
Of Milan.
That's true.
But yeah.
Regardless, they're gonna be exhausted against that Roma game.
I'll tell you what.
The only thing is the Inter's form in these derbies. They've had your number. Pioli has not prepared for them the same way as Inzaghi.
Marco,
has.
You know what? I agree with you just said. This is the only thing that matters on the derby. Whether Pioli said is still gonna be on the chopping block.
Oh, you think that's what it is?
Yes.
At least, because if he loses another derby, they're going to look at the blackouts. They're going to look at Europa League.
That's right.
And they're going to look at
the game. Doesn't mean anything for us. I mean, of course, we wanted to win. I mean, we don't want to lose.
That's a good
put
point.
It this way.
That's a good point for Pioli.
But I think the most important things on this derby is the chopping block.
I like that. I agree with that.
Whether Pioli said is going to be on that block or whether it's going to be saved. Whether it's going to have his head on the neck or whether the...
It won't just be that.
It's going to be decapitated.
You're getting way too detailed for no reason.
That's what the main thing. That's what's on the balance.
If he wins the European game against Roma...
It helps him a lot.
You know.
Wait a moment.
I guess it could be if he loses the Europa League.
Right.
Then it becomes a decision that becomes very easy for Milan management and Ibrahimovic, who's having a lot more responsibility and say in these matches. Let's talk about another derby. It didn't have a lot of flair to it. I feel like Torino-Juventus, the Derby della Mole, is always the same way. This time, Torino, much more competitive in recent years because defensively they've been great. Fourth best defense, I think, in Italy, 15 clean sheets. This one, they become 16. So they defend first and try to hit out, and they use their physicality, and Juric team really embodies that. But it's more so for Juventus. Vlahovic had the chance to score. He had an incredible chance to score. And I love Dusan Vlahovic. I've always been a huge supporter of him. I say that he's not a world-class goal scorer yet because a world-class goal scorer doesn't have really these highs and lows where there's some days that the guy looks like the best striker in the world, that he's got the ability to do pretty much anything. And then he has these moments that, you know, you start to question where he could be. But I think that's all part of the development of Dusan Vlahovic. But it's more so the way that Juventus approach the second half, that they get worse in the second half. I mean, I can't understand that. In Fiorentina match, they got worse in the second half. This game, in the derby, they got worse in the second half. And then it's just the terrified approach that you have to sub Chiesa out. Chiesa's always the first sub.
That was weird.
And there's a video of Chiesa's reaction when he's getting subbed off. And rumors that, you know, he was really mad afterwards. And I almost want Chiesa to say something and do something. Obviously, he's trying to be a professional and not throw Allegri under the bus. But it really feels like, at this point, the ship has sailed. Even the way Allegri speaks afterwards, where he says, oh, I've achieved everything that the club is telling me. As long as we get Champions League, I integrated the next generation players into the squad. We dealt with so many difficulties. Things have been different than what I was promised, which is true. That stuff is true. Yes, Juventus started out with a project where they were getting Paul Pogba, Di Maria. They were going to try to compete and things fell apart. But at the end of the day, the way that his team has looked right now, all roads lead to a separation. The biggest thing is what happens with Federico Chiesa?
I just feel like this season for Juve just got to that point where not even the players believe Allegri anymore. Like, yo, we're tired of this guy. It's like, we want to actually compete. We want to do something. And hearing Allegri say the same regurgitated excuses or BS that no one believes anymore. Let's get to that point. I just feel like we want the season to be done. I feel like they're on the same point in Napoli in terms of they want the season to be done. It didn't turn out how they wanted to. And they want they're either going to get a good coach that they like that can stay, or they're going to get a coach that they don't believe in, and the, I think the good players are just going to dip because they're like, we can't do this anymore.
He inspires no hope, though. As a communicator, as a leader of Juventus, the biggest team in Italy with the most fans, you would never expect the way that he speaks to be that. And again, Federico Chiesa, there's, you know that meme, the meme from The Godfather where it's like, look how they massacred my boy? That's Federico Chiesa right now.
Let me tell you something. When I saw Del Piero on Saturday, the flashback that came back to me for the goal that he scored, the punizioni, there is a repertoire behind this guy here that is endless. The goal that he scored on the national team, the World Cup, and all that stuff. And then here I am, I'm in front of this champion. And now we are talking like a butcher terminology, the chopping block for Pioli. This is the next one that is going to be on the chopping block, Allegri. A lot of people, they said, oh, there's still a chance for Allegri to stay. It's all dependent on the management. The guy's gone. If Juventus does not fire him,
or they're incapable.
Suck him.
The players should leave him.
They're incapable. Rabiot is rumored to want to leave. He's got everyone's going to go. Contract.
This guy is the ruin of Juventus. The reasons why Chiesa is not putting the number that they are allocated to his name, to the skill that he has, or a Vlahovic too. Even Vlahovic, although he scored, he can do a lot better because the game of Juventus, it's wait and see and then counter. If he had De Rossi, let's say a De Rossi type, and I'm not saying DDR, but let's get a De Rossi coaching Juventus. Those two guys, they will have at least another 7-8 goals each on their total.
So you mentioned a couple things there. I think that if you just take a balanced approach, it's not that Allegri is the worst coach in the league. You have to respect everything that Allegri did. When he had a team of champions, I think he's handled champions really well. He took Conte's Juventus. He made them better. They got to the two Champions League finals. They were able to dominate. But it's a different Juventus. It's a very different Juventus. It's not the Juventus that goes out there and buys Gonzalo Higuain. Oh, you're the best player of Napoli, that you're our competition. Let's put you into the team. We buy Miralem Pjanic, put you into the team, where he's able to handle that team. Juventus is no longer there. And with the current situation of Juventus, he is simply not the correct person to go forward.
Yep.
You haven't chimed in yet?
20 points from first place. No European games. You got the whole week to set up your game. And you keep the body language of Chiesa is not the same. You put him in the wrong position. If you remember, Chiesa went down the right wing. He made a cross and he gave the ball to Vlahovic, which missed the ball. So that's where he feels comfortable when he's out to the wing. He beats the man, he crosses the ball.
He's fast.
He's fast. He's got all those qualities. But you put him in a position where I don't think he can shine as much. Also, you're playing with two forwards. So if he goes down to the side and he goes down, you remain with one. Who's the other guy that's going to go there? When you go forward, you need to go forward with at least four players. You need to attack four or five players. Otherwise, the other team's got four defenders. They outnumber you. So I don't see it, what he creates tactically for this team. How is this team tactically go forwards to create the chances? He's after this year, that's it.
Bye, Charlie.
He's got to go. You need somebody. I mean, I saw Torino in the 90th minute was putting pressure on Juventus.
That's right.
They were putting high pressure. Yeah. They were all the way up. But do something, you know. You're playing, a derby. Yeah.
A derby that they absolutely dominate. Torino's won that game three times in the past 30 years. They were unbeaten in 19 games coming into this. If you're scared to play in this game, I mean, Come on. Anyway, let's go to last team that we didn't get to cover. Maybe has a coaching change. Napoli against Frosinone. I think that this game, if you watch this game, 6:30 a.m., it sums up. It had everything that sums up Napoli's season, where they had chances, they had opportunities, and then once again, they shoot themselves in the foot. And to make matters worse, which also sums up their season, Khedira, who used to play for Bari, who's on loan from Napoli, scores the two goals that ends up earning Frosinone a point in Naples. And then Mario Rui sent off. I mean, it had all this mixture. And one of you guys just said it, that you said Pioli and Allegri are in the same place. It's also Napoli. Oh, you said it, Mike. The Napoli fans, they're just waiting. They're waiting for this season to end. How much more can these fans endure? Mike sent the graphic today in our group that the last time that we had a title run that you're this far off in terms of points from last season, the champion of Italy, last season to this season, you know what it was? Torino in 1949. But that's because they lost their entire team in the Superga tragedy. That's how bad they've been.
Listen, this Napoli. I was speaking with my friend Gino today. I said, Gino, what the hell is going on? And I was speaking with Rosario too, because he was at the event too with Del Piero and company. I said, what the hell is going on? Why the public, this is the love of Napoli is turning against the management, the team itself, and all of those rumors about a bunch of players, and it's all of the above. You know, you do not want to be rumored like one of the players that is going to be leaving. You know, it turns you against, it turns you very sour. You know, you go to the stadium, you sacrifice in Naples and Napoli. They don't eat the meat, or they don't eat well, just in order to save, to go to watch the game. They have to watch the game. For them, it's very important. The attachment to the team, the attachment to the city, the attachment to the bragging rights. We were talking about bragging rights. You go over there and you do a poor showing against Frosinone. And on top of everything, who's scoring the two goals? I know Marco was rubbing it in because I was watching him on Paramount Plus. He named Pavoletti, that he put the body, was on the verge of the Serie A 30 seconds before. So he was rubbing it in, so it's okay.
I didn't know if you were going to catch that.
Yeah, I caught that. So I didn't want to say anything. I said, when he comes back, I'm gonna let him have it. But anyway.
Well, it was. I had to bring context to it.
Right. So the bottom line is, this is the only thing that I faulted De Laurentiis, but... I folded the team, the old team. They're not playing well. You know, the coach, at the end of the day, you know, we put in those coaches on the chopping blocks. But you are on the field. You have to have some pride. You have to just get yourself all together, you're just a group over there. You have to be able to communicate. Don't tell me that all of a sudden you forget how to play soccer. Don't tell me that. There is no excuse. I don't care about the formation. I don't care about anything. Once it's crunch time, everything goes out of the window. You have to win the game, and they're not doing it.
That the fact that we got these stands, it was worth it just to see those hand gestures.
Do I? Oh, shook. Let me just hold my hands.
Oh, shook.
That was great. That was okay. A good rant. I like what you said about Napoli being intertwined with the city, because if you go to Naples, it's a special experience. You don't find many places in the world. I would imagine Argentina, I've never been to Argentina, but I'd imagine that it's similar to that, where everywhere you walk, I mean, you go to the deli, you go to the barber, you will find the club. Anywhere you go, everywhere you'll see a Maradona mural. They live their team. It's the lifeblood of the squad.
But guys, how can these Napoli players play with confidence if they have so many turnovers in coaches, uncertainty, De Laurentiis tweeting something every other thing? Like,
yeah, but at the end of the day, Mike, they're on the field.
I get
that, that stuff, it doesn't help, but they should be doing better than this.
Yeah, of course.
We can't use that as an excuse for everything.
I'm not saying for everything, but if you don't give certainty, confidence to your team, you're already starting off on the wrong foot psychologically. And then it's just an uphill battle. I'm not saying it's an excuse. Yeah, they should obviously do much, much better, especially they just won the Scudetto. But that's something to talk about.
Shall we allow my dad to go on his rant that he's been so patiently waiting?
It's too frustrating. I know what you're talking about.
every time I see a goalkeeper fly out of the back, I think about you.
It's so frustrating. I mean, it is so... I cannot believe how a team from Serie A, they put three players inside the area and two players from the other team, and they want the goalkeeper to pass the ball.
Oh, my God.
It drives me It drives me crazy.
I was laughing. I was El Mao when I saw the goal that Merete caused.
That was Antonio trying to say LMAO. By the way, for all those at home.
Okay, LMAO. Okay, I was LMAO when I said I saw Merete just messing that thing up. I said, oh my God, I want to see Gaetano's face right now.
Butter.
So,
It's incredible. I can't believe it.
Everybody does it too. I was watching MLS. I think it was Drake Callender who just made a mistake. Did you watch
Miami.
This? Yeah.
Oh my God, that was horrible.
I didn't watch it.
Dude, I won't even make that mistake.
Let's show it to Gaetano Messina. Show
Continue
it.
Continue talking and I'll find
it. Gaetano Messina, show him.
But
please.
Yeah, Gaetano, you bring it up, but it happens throughout the leagues, throughout the teams. Many people, I guess the coaches really want the keeper to be playing with the ball at their
but
feet.
But the percentage
of success,
is very minimal.
Yeah.
And like if the goalkeeper goes for a long ball, 90% the other team gets it. Yeah, and once in a while you make a nice 90%. Pass and they play and there's maybe a couple of goalkeepers that do it well, but it's a couple of goalkeepers. Yeah. But now don't tell me that Salernitana, Frosinone, Verona.
They watch too much YouTube.
They all want to play that. That's Let them do the ones that are. Otherwise, what you do is a goalkeeper, you go as wide as you can and get the ball
wide. And do a simple pass.
Yeah, and if you lose the ball wide, you're not going to score. But if you lose it right in the middle, it's a goal. Yeah. But it's to me,
Gaetano.
It's very simple.
Gaetano,
I would love to sit down with a coach, and
laugh in their face, right?
No, sit them down, Gaetano. Let's sit them down.
Also, it also depends on the moment. No, like I get what you're saying. When there's three players pressuring you in the box, that's not the moment to do it.
But if you got two players from the other team inside the box, why you give it to the goalkeeper? You can give it to the goalkeeper. I have no problem giving the ball back to the goalkeeper when he's got no pressure. But not if the guy is running 100 miles an hour.
It's better to hit it out at that point.
Yeah, and you give it back to the goalkeeper. Yeah. You put him in a very bad situation.
Marco, I challenge you and Mike.
As far as Napoli is concerned.
This is a Monterrey Inter Miami CONCACAF Champions Cup.
Yeah.
Show me.
I saw this.
No, I didn't see it.
It drives me crazy.
What? Please.
That ball has got to go here. Mike. The ball has got to go here. All the way here. This guy should be here, and the ball has got to go right here.
Paisa, show me.
I got to show you right
anyway.
Now.
Hold on.
To make your blood boil.
Is it going?
Yeah, he's seeing it.
Oh, my God.
The fullback should be in the in the right corner, and that's where he should get the ball. Anyway, as far as Napoli is concerned,
seems extreme.
All right.
just end the season for Napoli as soon as possible.
I think many will agree,
and start all over again.
Yep. Listen.
Because Napoli is a special city.
With who? With who? That
Conte.
It looks like De Laurentiis is begging
Mr.
for Conte.
Producer said Conte.
And you know what's crazy? Conte might not have many options at this point.
You know with who? With whoever can deal with the De Laurentiis. Because it's not going to be easy to deal
Italiano.
Italiano
might be.
Maybe Italiano.
Because he'll have to.
You know, yeah. Conte.
A coach that's not at that level probably won't. But also for Conte, right? Think about this. Juventus is going to go all in for Thiago Motta. Milan, we still don't know. It could be Conte. Could be Thiago Motta in terms of the rumors. But if he doesn't get Juventus or Milan, he's got really nothing else.
He'll wait.
Yeah, Conte.
He doesn't want to wait, though. He's saying that he needs to get going.
He's not
going to
take.
No. Let me tell you something. Conte is tutti mi vogliono, nessuno mi prende. So
everybody wants me, nobody gets me.
That's it. So the second thing, Gaetano, then you go. The second thing, I challenge you guys. You're a little younger than us, a little bit. Just go back, let's say 20 years ago, and just look at any game. You know, we used to have Rimessa dal Fondo. When to go back to what Gaetano was saying.
And the Grundy.
When the goalkeeper has to put the ball on the tee, just goes on the back, and then boom, Rimessa dal Fondo is called, okay? So it's gone. Now we have the play, we have the build up from the back and all the stuff. The goalkeeper makes all of this pass. And then rinvio, when the goalkeeper grabs the ball with his hands, it's not a pass back. That now is been voided because of the new rules and regulation. The goalkeeper used to go to the top of the box and just just clear the ball all the way to the, to the other side. What and everybody, saying? He waited for everybody. Right now, the new soccer generation with and the new way, we are overdoing with that. I said, if you have the player, the capable player to do it, then do it. But otherwise, just go. Just go and
would
play
Conte
the same
go
way.
Outside of Italy? Or is Conte wants to stay in Italy?
You know what the problem is with Conte right now? In the Premier League, he kind of ruined his reputation with the way that he communicated. A lot of them don't want him, and the top teams are not going to take Antonio Conte. Bayern Munich is an option, but Bayern have other guys that they're looking at. Liverpool looks like they're going for Amorim. Bayern Munich's been between De Zerbi and even Nagelsmann, the coach of Germany. So
maybe if he clears Barcelona, Xavi leaving Conte.
Conte can't go to Barcelona. Nah. He doesn't fit Barcelona. No. So that's what I'm saying. Where else are you going to go? Where else is there for Conte? He might have to end up at Napoli. If Milan and Juventus don't get him, I think he goes to Napoli. If you know, Milan and Juventus don't get him, where else is he going to go?
Conte's not going to put up with Ibrahimovic telling him what to do.
Do we all agree? Many are desperate.
Huh?
Manu's a desperate United. Team. I could see him at Manu. I don't think that. I think that's a very good option.
I don't think so.
Why not? Manu are very desperate.
I'm telling you, don't underestimate how in England Conte is perceived right now.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. But they're
it
more
does matter.
I get it matters.
That's a massive
It matters,
deal.
But that's for a team that's not as... for a team that's very desperate, they'll put that aside.
Also,
I think so.
Man City just lost their CEO. He's going to Manchester United. Their whole structure of their organization is completely changing now. So you got to think those guys would have to want Antonio Conte. And I don't think if a guy goes from Manchester City, would he really want a coach like Antonio Conte?
Yeah, I don't think that's that crazy anymore. In the modern game, I don't think it's as crazy as moving to rival teams.
I think it is. I think for Manchester United, they should get Antonio Conte. I just don't think that they will.
PSG, the coach of PSG, his job is stable?
Not yet. It depends what happens in the
turn. They're doing well in Champions League. They're winning the league, so I don't see
what they're not doing well in Champions League. They had a bad game
against
Barcelona at home.
Yeah, but I'm saying it's the first leg.
I know, but at home, you got to win at home.
Mm. I get it, but there's still
another... That's not good in Champions League.
I'm not saying, but they're still in the competition. There's still another leg left. That's what I mean. It's
Mike,
not over
after
yet.
All the bragging between him
but
and
But that's the only thing that matters
Gavin,
for them.
If I end up going out, I think it's...
see the second leg.
It's how many years of contract does he have with the PSG?
Luis Enrique, he just got there.
Yeah, he must have
They've loved him up until now, though. They have loved him.
All right, so maybe he's going to stay.
Lazio won.
Thanks, boss.
Lazio won. They're the only big team that were able to win. There's trouble in paradise for them too, though. Guendouzi and Tudor, rumored to not like each other. They are being left out of the team. And Luis Alberto has come out saying that he doesn't want to be part of
that
Lazio
anymore. That was sad. When I saw that, I was sad. I thought it was the DNA of
Lazio. Luis Alberto, he played with two forwards.
Yeah.
And Luis Alberto was one of the two forwards, a little bit behind
second striker.
Tata, whatever his name is.
Tati.
And he touched a lot of the ball. He made a nice passes there, a lot of 1-2 inside the area and close to the area. So that's the change that I saw Tudor made with Luis Alberto. And I figure maybe this is the position for Luis Alberto because he does not have to defend. He's very creative. He gets the ball. He can score. He can give a nice assist. And if he loses the ball, he doesn't have to defend if he's a midfielder. So I thought maybe this is the right place. But then after the game, he said he wants to leave.
Well, I was
a little bit surprised.
He's wanted to leave for quite some time. Mm-hmm. There was always the rumors of, I believe it was Sevilla in Spain, that he wanted to go back to Spain. Also, Tudor's style of football seems to be a lot more physical than the one of Maurizio Sarri. And he's put a lot of emphasis on that. And the players that don't listen, he's pretty much outcasting. So we don't know. We're not inside the locker room. But that's the only thing that we could speculate on. But Lazio is also another team that...
They have injuries too, also.
The season. Yeah, they have a lot of injuries. The season is pretty much...
There's a lot of teams in Serie A that are like on the same boat in terms of clearing everything and starting fresh.
How many chances do they have to get into Europe?
That's very unlikely. Well, Europe, you're saying like Conference League?
Yeah.
There's still a good amount.
Yeah, I mean, hey, we have 7 games, 21 points still to put on the board. Well, we'll never know.
I guess we're thinking of just they finished second place last year, so we're thinking of Champions League.
But Christmas comes once every for Lazio. It cannot be Christmas all the time. So I think that that's an overstatement that they're not going to get second place anymore for the next 10 years.
All right, guys.
God, 10 years.
Thank you so much for watching.
What are you, guru?
Make sure you
things are going.
Go on ItalianFootballTV.com to shop, hit the newsletter, pop your email in. If you want these hats, make sure you like, subscribe. If you're listening on audio, rate us with 5 stars. Leave a review. It helps us a lot more than we can express. Do you like, are you happy that your hands are free now?
No, whatever you do, just say better? Anything nice about me. It's always appreciated. I don't care what you say about those guys, but you know.
Even if they're fake.
Great teammate we have over there.
I met Chuck, the guy that you guys have said, I'm Chuck.
You met him?
No, hold on. Somebody said, I'm Chuck. Somebody at the
wait,
game.
Really?
Wait, yeah. What? You didn't tell me this.
Yeah, what the hell? Well,
he was looking at the mirror. He was looking at the mirror.
Do I have to tell you everything?
I actually met Chuck.
Anto, you told me when you go to the bathroom. I would assume you told me Chuck, your greatest admirer.
And tell us if you
Chuck
did
is my buddy, Chuck.
Guys.
Chuck, prove it to them that you're not fake, okay?
Thank you for watching.
You're not me.
We'll talk to you soon. Ciao, ragazzi.
And Forza?
Milan.
And?
Body.
Yo, I think relegation, Anto. You guys are toast.